NADDF. NADDF.
KEATFM, good morning.
Good morning. Are you commuting?
Not really. Dropped my son off at school. They have a 7 a.m. start, so dropped him off and then go back home for an hour, and then I got someone picking me up. I got to go to Toronto for a meeting, and I'll come back home tonight. So, a lot of driving today. But I'm not driving, so I won't have a radio when I go to Canada.
Radio. I had a hell of a time getting on any of the repeaters. I don't know if it was just the area I was in or what. I was also trying to... I think I brought an 878, and I was trying to use some of the DMR stuff, so I could have been part of the problem. So, I don't know if you're missing anything.
No, I'm sure I'm not missing anything. Probably not a lot of activity. A feature that I want them to add to these radios is I want it to have a hotspot to connect to my phone or some kind of interface to connect to my phone. Go to repeater book, search for the repeaters that are close, and then program them automatically so they're there to use. Like, that's the feature. I'm always too lazy to program the radio anyway. So, if they could add that feature, that'd be pretty cool.
So, they have that on V-Star, and it's actually pretty decent. It goes off GPS, but it only pulls digital voice repeaters, which I guess is cool, right? That might be a viable option, but... We were talking about this last night. It's like, is digital really relevant? Is there enough of it around to justify, you know, a specific radio just for, I don't know. They all need to get together and just make one mode, and then it would be fine. But I agree. Like, if my 75 can already do that, my 52 that I used to have did it, why can't they have all repeaters with GPS coordinates? I don't know. There's got to be a database somewhere, right?
Well, if you download the Repeater Book app, they have, you can click the Repeaters Near Me feature, and it shows you all the repeaters that are, you know, so you can define how many miles, you know, so it's definitely available for them to get the information. But I forgot about that with D-Star. I have a 705, but I don't know, getting D-Star set up, like, stressed me out, and I always stopped as soon as I went to start getting it working. So I still haven't actually gotten it working on my 705 yet.
The irony, because I watched about 30 minutes of videos last night trying to get it working on my damn 75, trying to understand the difference between DR and DV, and one's for hotspot and repeaters, the other one's for simplex. I don't know. It is frustrating. Extremely frustrating. It's not like Fusion. It's not even like DMR. DMR, once you figure out the code plugs, it's not that bad. But, I still been unsuccessful opening any V-Star repeaters. I live in Elmont. There's two of them up here. Arrow Yagi out last night pointing at them, and I was unable to open them. So I think I talked myself into buying another Raspberry Pi and just making a cheap, I'll buy an MMDVM board, make a cheap Pi Star just to learn it, because I don't have one anymore. It's driving me nuts not being able to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm down right now. I'm down the DMR rabbit hole now. I've made a little bit of progress. I got local repeaters in that program. Now I gotta go the rest of the way with it. I was thinking about buying one of those two and set it up just to get it all figured out, because now that I've dug into it, it don't actually seem that bad, like you said, where the V-Star, it's like, I don't feel like diving into it. Not now. DMR is really the next thing I'll get figured out here and get all these radios and that set up. Whether I use it or not is another, but I'm at least now far enough into it that I can't put it away. So I think I got to get one of those hotspots and get it all solved at one time before I lose interest in it.
That seems to be my problem anytime I start dabbling with digital is I do it, I'm gung-ho, I get all working, it's great, and then I'll... because there's really no repeaters in the area. There's one in Warren, that's DMR. There's a couple Fusion ones, which there's really no dabbling to do with that. And then the only D-Star ones I know of are in Lapeer and Lake Orion. So we literally had this conversation last night. We're a very analog-heavy area of the country. So, I agree. It would be cool, especially like you said, like if D-Star was a little more prevalent, you could just use those features on these D-Star radios to just automatically find and add a repeater, and you're off to the races.
Now, what kind of drives me crazy a little bit on my FTM 500, so it has APRS, I turn that on for a little bit, and I'll see people who are transmitting near me, but they don't use the protocol. I guess there's a definition in the protocol, and I think Kenwood implements it, is what someone told me, that if someone is transmitting APRS is close to you, you can see them on the screen, hit the button, and you can just reach out and call to them, because you can go right to the frequency where they're at, I think that would be really a cool feature on the radio, especially for traveling, because then if you're driving down the street, you see someone in simplex range, you can just quickly, reach out. That would actually be cool, but I think Kenwood's the only one that uses that part of the protocol.
Is that the APRS 12 or whatever, or the KISS? I can't remember, but there's a couple different APRS beaconing modes on my 75. That's another thing. I have not taken the time to learn this radio, so I don't know how the majority of it's supposed to work. I forgot to mention, if you're looking for a cheap hotspot, the last time I looked, there was a pre-assembled, it's an ARSINC. I think it's the same brand that's an authorized nano VNA retailer on Amazon. It was like $90 pre-assembled for a Pi Star. That was the one I was probably going to grab just to mess with, and then who knows, maybe within the 30 days I get sick of it and send it back. But I agree. I've got a 500 that's unfortunately at UAC right now getting repaired, but my 200 and 300 I had when I messed around with APRS, it was sweet. I would get the beacons, but I wouldn't, it's like, now what? So some people would beacon their frequency, and I never figured out a way to, like, just go to that frequency rather than go into VFO and then manually go into the frequency.
Yeah, and having that available here, like you said, it's analog heavy. I mean, I think around here, everybody would use it. I mean, if it was just a simple feature that, here, we got someone here, click the button, call, and then talk simplex till you're out of range, I think, that'd be cool. If I could add one feature to the 500, that would be it, because the map display on it and that actually works pretty nice. I mean, it pops up for a few seconds, shows you the distance, relatively where they're at, and then goes back to the other screen. It's actually quite nice. Not bad at all. KE8, TFM.
NADDF. I look forward to getting mine back. They emailed me last night, said, these are the accessories, checked in, confirm your return address, yada, yada, yada. So hopefully they're working on it. But I have not gotten too far into the menus on that radio. I didn't even know that there was. You're saying there's like an actual map that pops up with the APRS beacons?
Yeah, it's just a circle, concentric circles, and it'll say, it'll come up with the person's call sign, the distance from you, and then it's like a compass, concentric circles with northeast, southwest, and it shows you the distance and where they are kind of relative to your location. and that's what pops up when you have it enabled. And so as soon as it receives one, it'll pop up. If multiple come in, it, you can put it in this list mode where it'll show you the list, and you can just quickly scroll to the one you want and hit it. And then on the map, it shows you all of them and then the distance of where they're at. So it's quite nice, but it's like, okay, what am I going to do with this information? They're there, but, I mean, I know they're transmitting on 2 meters, but, you know, how do you talk to them? That's not there. But allegedly, the protocol supports it, and Kenwood has that enabled in their radios, supposedly, whatever that means. I didn't do enough to know what it's called, but yeah, the map that it pops up with, it shows you 2.6 miles away. They're southeast of me. It's pretty good.
Okay, I'm familiar with that map. I know what you're talking about. Whenever I had APRS on, it was on my old car. My work car had a FTM-200 in it. It seemed like I always picked up weather stations or Canadian stations, and I don't know if it was just the area I was in or what, but out where I'm at, there's no digipeters, so it's kind of tough for me to, I can't beacon or get any activity until I'm like, you know, 26 or south, but yeah, I'm patiently waiting for Kenwood's mobile to come out, and I think I will definitely swap out my 500 for that, because I am very impressed with the 75 and Kenwood quality. I just don't think that their tax is really warranted, in my opinion. But then again, they're all overpriced.
Yeah, no, that's true. What happened to your 500? What wound up breaking on that?
The radio was operational, and it all started with I ordered one. And it seemed like I ordered from GX Engineering, because if you order from them, you know they're like next day most of the time. Like I just ordered RG8X crimpers and all that stuff and coax, and it came literally the day after I ordered it. It's like you can't beat it for free shipping. So I ordered a 500. It got lost for like 6 days. I'm like, hey, you guys, like I've ordered tons of stuff from you, and it's always next day or the day after. And they're like, yeah, it hasn't moved. We'll send you another one. If you get that radio, send it back. Well, I'll be damned, they both show up on the same day, the next day. So then I got two radios, two 500s, and I'm like, all right, well, this box looks a little damaged, so I'm going to keep this one. Go figure, the one I pick has some sort of defect in the control head where the head speaker has this horrible high-pitched hissing audio that comes out of it, whether it's on receive, whether it's menu buttons and the tone speaking. It did it on the bench, on a dummy load. No matter what I did, it just sounded horrible. So Eric, WAEAP, was like, hey, try messing with the backlight brightness. And there was a direct correlation. The brighter it was, the less prevalent the noise was. And then it's mounted above my mirror, so I'd always have it on minimum, and on the minimum brightness, where it seems to be, you know, reducing the amount of current going to the screen, the worse the screen was. So I called the ACU and did a bunch of troubleshooting with them, and he was like, yeah, just send it in. So they've had it. It almost got lost in transit on the way there. The radio's been cursed since I got it. So fingers crossed they get it working and I get it back, or they're just like, we swapped out your control head, because I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I got this radio. I got the 500 permanently mounted in my truck, and I love this thing. I haven't had any problems with it. It's been a nice radio. I like the PMG feature, I mean, because I find myself in different areas, so it's real easy to throw, you know, to load up 5 channels that I'll probably use, and, you know, for the specific area that I'm in. That's probably my favorite mode. And then I often just have my UHF-only antenna, and for all the program channels, they got that band button, and you can set your channels to all UHF, all VHF, all airband, or everything. And when I have the UHF antenna, I don't got to forget about it. You know, I just set to UHF channels only, and then I don't got to worry about it, you know, transmitting 2 meters accidentally or something like that. So far, I like the radio. I haven't had any issues whatsoever with it, you know, knock on wood. But I got it mounted permanent in the truck, and you know, it just lives out here. It's nice. So far, no complaints. Other than that APRS feature I wish it had, you know, it's been a good radio so far.
No, it's an awesome radio. I bought it specifically for the speaker in the head. I've had a 200, I've had a 300, and then my last truck I had a Icon 5100, which, cool radio, data technology, way too big of a monochrome screen. That's a touch screen, that's not very good, but other than that, good radio. But mine's permanently mounted above my mirror, which is why I bought the 500 for the head speaker, because it's, 2 feet from my head facing me. And then the main body is under the passenger seat, and it's all wired in through the paneling. And I tried to make it as clean as I could. And then, of course, the main reason I bought it is the main reason it had to get warrantied.
Yeah, that is crazy. Well, once you get it back, give it a chance. You'll like it. I think it's, so far my favorite one, that's for sure. But, yeah, all right. I'm going to be, this will be my last one here. I'll be clear once you're done here. I'm pulling up to my house, so I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go eat some breakfast and get ready for the long drive. I'm hoping the weather cooperates with us and we don't run into a mess. I used to travel to Syracuse a lot for work when I worked for a company over 10 years. I'd make 12 trips a year, and I got caught in some nasty storms, between Sarnia and Toronto area there. So I'm hoping everything goes smooth with all this wind and that.
Yeah, good timing. I just backed into my spot at the office here. Enjoy your breakfast. And the lake effect's no joke. I know what you mean. I've used to have to travel up to Port Huron and stuff, and storms always seem much more gnarly there than they were down in Macomb. Even just leaving my house, living in Lapeer County, the roads were horrendous, and then I got down here, and they're pretty much dry and salted, so I'm sure that has a lot to do with the county. But, all right, good talking to you. Safe travels, and I'll catch up with you later. NADDF.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy. KE8 TFM. KE8, are you in mobile?
KPP for about 5 minutes.
I'll be here for an hour because I'm driving to a doctor's appointment in Sterling Heights.
All the roads by you.
They look slick, but that's in the subdivision. I haven't left that yet.
KRUH.
Welcome in.
I'm in the car for just a second, but I wanted to let you know I'm in Troy. I drove from the east side of town, 94, 696, 75. Roads are fine. Highways are dry, actually. So you should have a decent trip down here.
There you go, Tom. I only got to go to that high school up here in Anchor Bay, so I'm very bad. So you're the one with the big drive. Yeah, I think you're okay. I think they put so much gear into this storm, and we didn't get nailed as bad as we thought we would, that I think they had every truck in the state out.
It's more or less the snow. I think it's just the wind. 40-mile-an-hour wind is just blowing through and causes a quick freeze. I think it was a recorded 74-mile-an-hour wind gust in the middle of the state somewhere.
Yeah, that makes it fun and exciting. And we got an office meeting at 7:30. I was supposed to be, but I'm going to be Wally fashionably late.
Yeah, I'm leaving a little bit early. Woke up early to leave early because I didn't know how M19 and Gratiot were going to be on the way in, you know, south. So, and my daughter's going to go to Lenox Township. She's leaving late for work.
Very good. Hey, Sean, I know it's close, but your repeater sounds pretty today. The one up here in Richmond, 2.225. You must have had to do this testy thing called work.
I can literally see the Richmond Tower from where I'm sitting, and it looks pretty.
You know which one it is, right?
I do, and due to an NDA, I am not identifying its location.
Okay, because there's like four or five of them. I only drove to the wrong one yesterday. Hey, sir, I gotta let you go. I am on Radiance Drive. Flaps are down, wheels are down, and getting ready to pull back the thrusters. You have a good day. I'll chat later. I got a fair amount of driving to do after this boring ass meeting. Cujo from NAKPP.
73, drive safe, no ice skating, KC, KGO, Cujo clear.
W8VAP.
KE8TFM.
NAKPP. 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 N-A-K-P-P. W-8-N-S-C Mobile. I have a question. At 30 degrees.
I could possibly have an answer.
Have you ever heard of a black charge with regards to a credit card? A black charge.
That's something I've never heard of.
I've heard of a black card from American Express, but an actual black charge, I have not. So I went to this little party store gas station because I was on vapors, and I figured I'd just get 20 bucks worth. So I used my American Express, and I paid at the pump with the, you know, with the chip. And I asked for a receipt, and it said, no receipt, go inside, ask cashier. And I just, it was freezing. I just said, out of hell with it. I got in my car and got down the road. I got about 2 blocks, and I get a ting, because when I use my American Express, it immediately tells me. It says, pending charge, $175, ExxonMobil. So I turn immediately around. I go back in. I go, one, I want my receipt. You know, and he goes, yeah, no problem. I says, and two, I go, you showed up as a $175 charge. He goes, that's just a black charge. And I go, what the hell's a black charge? He goes, yeah, because it's common. He goes, they do that until the real charge will come through. And I'm like, I've never heard of such a thing. He goes, well, you learn something new every day. And I go, well, yeah, but I've never in my life. I go, and I've got you by about 3 times age-wise. You know, and so, anyhow, he's talking about this black charge thing. Well, you know, then I logged into my account directly, and it said 20 bucks. But it initially alerted me to $175 charge, and I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Sounds like more like a pre-off to make sure that you had the money there, or some goofy crap like that. Another way they get you.
All right. Well, I guess the terminology black charge is not, because I couldn't find any reference to it online or anything. Pre-off, I guess, but I've never had that happen in my life. I've never had, I should say this. I've never had a car that as quickly as the American Express, I literally hang the pump, and I get a text message, you spent, you know, $20 at ExxonMobil. And, you know, it's, so I got to say, I've never had one that's this fast. And this one, like, I literally hung the pump, it says, you know, pending charge at, you know, $175, you know, and then within a few minutes, it said 20, you know. So, okay, I'm guessing that's what it is, but I have never seen that.
There's usually a sticker on the pump that tells you that.
A little unnerving, so. All right, well, anyhow, it looks okay in the actual account. I just was wondering if anybody ever heard of black charge. And I looked it up online, and, you know, there's no such reference to that. I think that's a word he made up. I think you're right, pre-authorized or something. So there's probably some other name for it, but I couldn't find any reference to black charge. I saw what Donald said. I saw American Express black charge card, but that's not what we're talking about here. All right. I'm not going to worry about it, then.
I think you're all right, so. Just for a reference point on the Richmond machine, I'm down in Marine City right now, and everybody sounds pretty good, so hopefully I sound good on the other end from yesterday's conversation.
You sound good to me. There's a little bit of fry in there, but not much. You're rock solid. Easy copy. And big thing is, you know, does it look, you know,
is it the same as the 625? It shouldn't be any better or worse. You know, that's the key.
Yeah, I agree with that. No better, no worse. So, same. Right down the pipe.
You got a little popcorny there. All right, well, thanks for the quick information, Dave, in particular. And I guess it's just, I'll have to figure out what that is, but it just must be the speed with which they report. It texted me before it actually hit my account with a pre-auth charge. So I'm going to run into the barbershop here and get a few of my hairs cut. I'll be back. W8FU.
Enjoy getting your ears lowered. That's just W8.
W8RCY, clear.
I think he cut all my hairs.
Just be lucky you still got hair to cut.
That's true. That's why I'm so specific. I came in there. I was very explicit. I said, I would like a haircut. I didn't say all of them. I said, I would like a haircut. I don't have enough to be. Ugh.
I think when I was in my 20s, I started losing my hair, and I was sitting up late at night watching Hair Club for Men infomercials, and I said, screw this, and I shaved everything and never went back.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, when is the time to just throw in the towel and do that? You know, I ask all the time, am I at that point, you know? So, I don't know. I probably have long passed it, but it's hard to say. And you ever notice, you know, how come every 60-year-old actor, you know, still has a full head of hair? You know, except for a couple, you know, and there's Stanley Tucci and a couple of others, you know. Yeah, but most guys like Vin Diesel that shave it all off. But there's so many, you know, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, all these guys. Really, they all just genetic. I know they won the genetic lottery in so many other ways, but they also won that genetic lottery as well, full head of hair, you know, or they got to be doing something. Are they hair clubbing?
I would assume they are. They got the money for it, that's for sure. And the time for me was when I was sitting up at 1 a.m. watching Hair Team for Men videos on the television, and I'm like, yeah, I got to stop this. This isn't good for me. I literally went into the bathroom and shaved it off. Never looked back.
Well, I don't shave it, but in recent years I try to keep it really tight, you know, really short. And it doesn't, you know, that works as well. So you can shave it, obviously, or you could, or just keep it really, really short, and then it's not so big a deal. It's when you start letting the what you got left get long, then it really, really shines a light on what you don't got.
Yeah, I don't have to pay for haircuts, but yeah, you got to keep it down at least once a week, otherwise it starts coming through and you go, man, I'm pretty bald there, eh?
It's a 5 o'clock shadow on your head, do you?
Yeah, that usually only happens when I'm busy with a project like barn building for weeks on end, and I kind of forget to do it. And then you look in the mirror and go, oh, shit.
Yeah, oh man, anyhow, took the day off here and I've been busy as hell. I mean, I took the day off, but I was going to work a good portion of it, which I did. I plan on taking, I hope to take 5.5 hours off today. I think I've already worked too much already to do that, but still. I got an oddball 5.5 hours I got to burn up, so I figured I'd take it today. But I got a ton of things to do, man. I got a laundry list of places I gotta stop, things I gotta do.
Yeah, there's never any shortage of that.
waiting for my wife to get back with our Big John's steak and onion.
Wonder if Larry is listening out here. N-Y-A-T.
Well, you got more accomplished than I did today. The roads were bad, it was super cold, and I wasn't about to go out in it, but I had to go get a haircut. Did not do that. I had to do some errands down in St. Clair Shores, so I never got my rental car and did that. So, you know, I just didn't get anything accomplished today, and, you know, So you're ahead of me on that one, Sean, and I haven't had a haircut in like 12 weeks now. I missed my last two appointments. So, anyhow, yeah, I'm just chilling today. I mean, when I got up this morning, I looked out there and I saw that weather and I heard the road conditions. I just said, nope, I ain't going out in it.
Well, I got the haircut done. I had lunch with my son. I got my big meeting in this morning. Got some gas, although I didn't go to BJ's and tank up. I just went to the Black Charge Exxon. So I still got, like a top off over at BJ's. I'm in that vicinity now. I'm going to go to Micro Center. Hopefully they don't have a line going all the way around the store and out the back end, so I can get my free 128 gig SD card. And that's about all I need from there today. And I gotta stop. I gotta do some shopping. Wanna go see Larry. Got some business to do with him. I'll tell you, the list.
W8RCY for identification, in case I forgot. Yeah. No, I, you know, what little driving I do, and I saw the way the roads were this morning, I just said, no, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not as good on the roads as I used to be, and I'm not worried about myself more than I am everybody else who thinks they're invincible. So I just stopped and just said, no, I ain't going to do it, and I canceled all my stuff I was going to do today. And then I looked out at about 11 o'clock, and I thought, dang, I could have done this. But like I said, I'd just rather be safe than sorry, and trust my instincts, trust my gut, and just call the day off. So,
yep, it's cold, I'll tell you that much. So, all right, I am making the final approach here to Micro Center. I'm going to pull in and see if I can find a parking spot and go get my free SD card. While I'm right here anyhow. I'll be back in a bit. W8FU.
Copy that. Have a good afternoon. And we'll catch up with you later on. Now we'll see you Saturday. W8RCY, we're clear.
Well, that was unexpected. In and out.
If it was in and out, did you get a burger too? I mean, you should have gotten a free burger then if it was in and out.
Nope. Not looking for a burger. I think that's across the street. Is that Shaken or whatever? I don't know. I can't keep track. All right, what's next on my list? Let's go see if I can get that gas.
Copy that. I got lunch coming from Marco's. So, again, safe travels. We'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
All righty. Catch you later. W8RCY. When I'm home, seems like I'm getting all sorts of, it seems like everything I do today is, it's not bad, it's just like there's some misguided turn. Just, I feel discombobulated.
get down the freeway without being blown off of it.
I just did it again. You know, no big deal, just wrong turn, just an exit. Picked the wrong line, just like all sorts of weird little things. Anyhow, how's your day going?
Tests at Ann Arbor, and I'm heading back to the office in Auburn Hills to help out a coworker. And I just got another phone call from another coworker.
Okay, just had another one of those little discombobulations. Weird, weird day. Yep. Well, I'm almost to my next stop. I'm going to stop and see a friend and do a little horse trading. And then all I'll have left on my list is shopping. So wherever I go, there'll probably be something wrong with the place I think. It's just the way things are going. Anywho, I'm just getting ready to make my turn here.
Well, you take your turn, and I'll catch you on the flip-flop and send you through on your final. Yay! Go Charlie, you know, Jim Oscar.
Roger. We will catch you a little later. I am at my destination. W8FU.
M-A-K-B-B. Can't say any well. N-A-K-P-P. K-F-A-D-Y-L.
For a client at a previous place in employment, but they didn't miss it.
Oh, this was an 8-reader board that controlled the exterior gates, which are bonded because it's a networking facility or cell tower facility. And it was putting up a daughter board, and this one little screw decided to go left instead of right. Hit a chip, and I saw a little sparking on the board, and then the board went on.
Yeah, I'm low stakes. Anything I touch, it's pretty hard to break it, so I unfortunately don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's under warranty, well, not under warranty, but it's under service, so customer doesn't pay a red dime. I'm on $3,500.
I'm assuming those are not serviceable boards either, right? You can't send that to manufacturer and get it repaired.
Oh, I'm sure I could, but they'll say, oh, that's not covered under warranty. We see short marks on the board. It's a very small chip in the right-hand corner. So, yeah, I just scrap it. It's cheaper just to scrap it than it is to get it repaired.
Yeah, I like most things. So where are you at? You almost home? You coming in Richmond or what?
I'm actually coming down right along OU right now, Meadowbrook.
Oh, okay, so we're both going in at 2-6.
Yeah, I'm in 2-6. I mean, I can hit the 225, but it's a little staggy, but I can key it up at least.
What do you run for a mobile?
Lenko DR735T.
I've never had an Elenco, but there is a HT that does DMR that I've had my eye on for quite some time. How do you like it?
One of the selling points of getting the Elenco is one, it's a bigger display, and I'm blind as a bat, so it makes it easier for me to look across with it with just my contact phone, no readers. Easy program, and it's a full 70 on VHF and UHF, so I got full power on both.
Elenco is still a Japanese manufactured radio too, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's kind of my make or break. I try to buy the Japanese radios if I can. The only Chinese one I've got, I got two. I got a KG935G that is a GMRS radio that I haven't used in a long time. And then I've got a RT3S, but I guess for the price, it's hard to be picky. But yeah, I try to stick to the big three if possible. But those Elencos have always caught my eye because they're a little more cost effective and they're unique. They're a lot different than some of the other radios I've seen.
Yeah, this one, I think for $150 more, I could have put a digital chip in it. It has cross-band repeat also. You know, so I like that feature on it. There was a couple different features. One of my coworkers, he's got, I think, the Yaesu, I forgot which one it is. It was like $20 cheaper than a GeekPad for a while. But I like the Elenco, I like the display, I like the dual controls on it. It really, I love it, you know. I'll buy another one if I had to.
That's all that matters is you like it and it works good. What are you running for an antenna?
Comet MR-77 Magmo.
How tall is that? I'm a big Comet guy. That's all I've ever ran, and I've had really good luck with them.
I think the total height from base of the magnet to the top of the antenna, I think, is 18.5 or 19 inches. That's nice. I mean, it looks like a cell phone antenna, so it's not too high. I can get into an automatic car wash with a ladder rack, and it fits right in there.
All right, so I've kind of proven my theory that you don't need a huge mobile antenna to get a lot of gain and coverage. I was running the 16-inch Comet, and then I put my 2x4 back on my truck, and the 2x4 is noticeably better, but it's not, it doesn't seem like it's drastically better, at least on the receive. Maybe on the transmit, which I can't really tell, obviously, but yeah, that's what I like, is I try to find these, like, low-pro, but still going to work good antennas, and I was running a Comet SBB1, and now I got my 2x4 on, but I just got a stake pocket mount. set up on my truck, so pretty happy with how that came out. But the cool thing now is being on the bed rail, I could run a ridiculously tall antenna and it doesn't look that ridiculous.
Well, being a work truck, a work van, or whatever else like that, I gotta be careful with the modifications I make. I have in the past put strobes on it. That got me in trouble. I've drilled holes into the side, but they, when they turn these vans in, they want resale value, and well, I kind of destroy that when I put holes in it. So like, literally right now, my Eleco is sitting on my dashboard behind the center display, and it's screwed into the vent, so you really can't tell. And then all, everything just runs out through the windows and up on top of the roof there.
No, I get it. I was the same way in my last company car. I used the lip mount, which ended up trashing the paint. It was a Kona HD lip mount, which I was not impressed with, but I don't really blame that. It was the weird body line, so it wasn't... It was meant to go on like a trunk or a hatchback where it's flat, but I put it on kind of like a curved body panel because that was all it really was on the hatch. And then I don't keep trucks very long, and most of the time I lease them and then sell them before the lease is up, so I try not to, you know, damage them, put holes in them, things like that. So fortunately, when I ran this one, I just had to drill one small hole into an existing grommet in the floor of the cab to get out to the bed. So no one will ever see it.
Probably try, but anyhow, nah, whatever. Don't get it.
you know, hopefully if they don't find it, they think to write you or call. But it sounds, you were telling me how you described the problem, and it sounds like you made it pretty crystal clear.
Yeah, I mean, it's by no means difficult to replicate. You pretty much just need, you don't even need to put in a dummy load or an antenna or anything. You just need to power up the radio and flip through the menu with the screen brightness turned down, and you can hear it. It pisses me off that I can't describe the noise, but it sounds like a high-pitched blown speaker. It's just fuzzy, hissing, high-frequency, annoying noise, like poor, very teeny, crappy quality audio.
So, it's not the receive audio that's crappy, it's the noise it's creating sounds crappy. I mean, maybe the receive audio is crappy as well, but you're saying that it generates a noise separate from receive audio. While it's just sitting there in standby, it's pumping out some sort of a noise, or but only while it's receiving.
If any time the speaker is powered to emit a noise. So in standby, there's no noise, but if I receive pretty much anything, it was less notice. No, it was pretty much anything. So anytime the speaker turned on. So even, like I was saying, even when I'm not receiving, if I'm just flipping through the menu and I've got the button tone, the little beep, beep, beep when you're flipping through things, that sounds like garbage. It just sounds like a blown speaker. It's like staticky kind of sort of. It's just not good.
Right. So, all right. Well, that should be easy to figure out. You know, when you were describing it at first, I thought it was a high-pitched whine, a really high-pitched whine. And I thought, well, I wonder if you're just like a superhero, you know? You've got, you know, incredibly, high range that, you know, higher than most people can hear. You're hearing something nobody else can hear. You know, maybe mine is doing it, but you've got super uber hearing, you know? Now, that was just something that was going through my head, but what you're describing wouldn't match that.
No, I actually have like 30% hearing loss, so I am by no means a superhuman, what do they call that? Supersonic, something along those lines. Sonar, I don't know, bat stuff. It is like a high-pitched whine, and it was really bad when it would first turn on. That's why I was thinking capacitor. And then Eric said do the, the screen brightness thing, and I was able to pinpoint it a little bit further, but, yeah, it was like very high sibilance and very ear-piercing trouble. I was going to try to record it, but I'm like, there's no way a phone camera or microphone is going to be able to pick up something this high pitch.
Supersonic, that's a great way to, that's what it would be. Yeah, they got these super, you know, tasters, you know, and they're hired by places to taste, you know, subtle differences and things and super, you know, then they got these super, color, these people that work for paint companies, and they can actually differentiate between just the most, you know, smallest changes of red, you know, that you or I or most people wouldn't even be on their radar, and they can detect them reliably. You know, super seers, they're super tasters. I just was wondering, maybe you're a superhero, but yeah, okay, it's not that. All right, anyhow. Well, like I said, I duplicated everything you said here, and I do not detect anything. My hearing is pretty good as far as frequency response. It's, sometimes I wonder if, I don't know if I tune out or amplitude, but they tested me, these places that test for hearing aids, they're trying to sell you them. When I got done, she came out, she goes, holy cow. She goes, yeah, you don't need any help. She goes, you're beyond normal. So I'm like, yeah, I know, you know, the range I can hear is really extreme. Wish my eyesight was the same, but all right, anyhow, well, good luck. I'm sure they'll find it. So I'm sure if mine was doing it or Dave's or anybody else's, one of us would have noticed it. So it's not right. All right, I just pulled up at home. I've got some groceries I got to get inside. I'll be back in here in a little bit. You'll probably still be traveling, maybe. We'll catch you then. After yours, in case there's any closing comments, W8FU.
I actually hear them, but I was qualified for them. I can't remember what, it's the higher frequencies that I burned out and can't hear anymore, or hear well. But yeah, the amount of people in our community that have a 500 and don't have that issue, and the lack of findings on the internet and my research, it kind of tells me it's a bad radio. So, all right, Sean, good talking to you, man. I'll catch up with you later. NADF. All right, you're better now. Where are you at?
Markston Road and Rochester Road. Where that little T is at up here.
I don't know why I can't picture where that's at.
Just south of 32 Romeo Road off of Rochester. It's between Oregon Road and Fredmore.
Oh, okay. Doesn't that turn into, like, Stony Creek Road or something?
Exactly. Yeah, it's quite, yeah. Parts of Road, if you take it from Adams East, then you hit the stop sign at Lake George and then turn to the Stony Creek Road. Exactly. So, yeah, it's right here by the fire department. Just south of it.
Yep, I know exactly where you're at. Man, if you were a couple minutes ahead in your journey, we could simplex. I'm at 34 in Fisher right now.
Well, then I'm going to be going. I'm taking that to Romeo Road down to Fisher, Fisher to 34, and then 34 down to Arcadia. So.
Oh, that's right. They still have 32 shut down over there by Keesley Lake, don't they?
No, it's open. It's just yeah, let's go on to downtown Romeo, which is 35 miles an hour, where I can take Rochester Road to 32, and then go north on Fisher, which is 55, hit 34, which is 50, and all the way down to, what is that, Brown, not Brown Road, all over there by Cookie Creek, right alongside there, and Armada Fair, or Blake. I can shoot all that, that's all 55.
It is Ebling that turns into Brown Road, I believe, that turns into Armada Center, I think. Yeah, you're driving right by my old house. I grew up at 34 and Fisher between 34 and Taft on the east side. So, very familiar with your route. I've driven it many, many times.
All right, so now I'm on 225. How do I sound?
If you're on 32 and you got a straight shot, that's why it sounds so good. Almost full quieting. Do me a favor, flip to Romeo, I'm curious. Or were you just on Romeo before that transmission?
See, Romeo for me is kind of crackly.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Let me switch to Richmond. I'm on Romeo right now. I want to see how I hit it. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm on 53. Just kidding, I don't know what I did. I updated my radio last... Damn it, yeah, I updated my radio last time after I changed the Richmond frequency. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I see there's a lot of bacon on Romeo.
Alright, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. And now I don't hear you.
I'm here. I'm just updating my my memory here.
Okay. What's a simplex? VHF or UHF?
I can try either.
Well, I think I had a coworker that we would talk on 4655 simplex. We were together, and I think I got like, I'm going to say North Avenue, pretty close to Boardman, and he was on Van Dyke. It was like right around our Armada that we cut out.
I wish I knew how to use the damn radio better. Where are you at now?
Coming up on Townsend in 32. Oh, wait, Fisher. I'm about to turn left on Fisher.
Okay, yeah, we're probably way too far apart. I'm at 14 and 53.
I think that's where we lost each other. I mean, if we drove parallel with one another, he would be going down, like, where you're going down that night, and I'd be going down Romeo Plank. Sometimes I'd get as, you know, as far as the lakes before we started cutting dry.
That's pretty good. I'm sure it depends a lot on the time of year, too, because there's so many trees out here.
Well, we're going across the pastures here in the fields, it was fine. I mean, we could hear each other, but then once we hit the tree line, then you got kind of blacked up or bogged down more or less. Sorry, I was looking at it. I see this orange glow to the east of me.
Funny you say that, because I just came around a bend and headed due north, and then it's like someone turned off the noise on Richmond, and it became crystal clear, because it's just, and it's kind of unobstructed with a bunch of empty fields between it and the repeater.
I'm just about to hit the Romeo Proving Ground up here off of 34, so I know I'm on top of that hill.
You want to try 14652?
Yeah, let me program it on the other side.
All right, I'm there, whatever. Not hear you, I've been monitoring. You're on 14652?
Yeah, it took me a minute to get there because with the Elenco, you can do auto offset or you can offset it by 5 or by step, auto step. And when I did, when I typed in 520, it brought up 512.5 or something, so it was off. I had to fiddle around with that, get it just right, and I got 4652 on there. And I got it turned up, so if you jump over there, I should hear you if you're close.
Anything on that?
Negative, I haven't tried to. And I'm pushing 70 on VHS, so I know I got full power out there.
Roger. Yeah, too many obstructions. I'm running, what am I running? I'm running 2.5 into my amp, probably putting out about 25-30. That's my problem is this is my first Kenwood radio. It's an HT, so it's not meant to be played with while you're driving. And I haven't really taken the time to mess with it because I pretty much just sit on 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 now frequencies. So, well, it's been a crash course. The more I play with it, the more I learn, so I'm getting there.
I still haven't learned the full functionality of this Elenco. That's only, when I moved over to 4652, I'm like, why? I'm like, oh, crap, I've got to change that from auto to 5. So, going through the maintenance as I'm driving, thank goodness some of them I can get off the mic.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to tinker and practice these things when you're not moving, but I don't do that. But I will say tonight I'm going to bring this thing to the house and probably update the programming on it and familiarize myself with it a bit more because it is a pretty kick-ass radio and I am quite happy with it. I just hate feeling like an idiot when I don't know how to use it. It's basically a glorified old-school cell phone. It's got the T9 QWERTY texting and all that fun stuff on it, so... Programming stuff's a breeze. You just type it in and that's it. But there's a lot more to it that I haven't really played with yet. Anyway, I'm turning on my street here. I'm going to clear out. I'll be out after yours. Safe travels home. I know you're almost there, and I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. NADM.
Yeah, I'm just pulling on to 34 and McKay. So, good chatting. And I will talk to you tomorrow sometime. 73, GCKJ. Refinery's working overtime in Canada.
KF80WL.
GCKJ, how's it going?
Yo, how's it going tonight? Yeah, it's a little flurry here, and snow is tapering down.
I'm just meandering my way home. I'm on North Avenue, just getting out of Armada.
Armada, I haven't been there since I was a kid. It was like 1987 the last time I was there. We used to drive up through there all the time, but yeah, that was a long time ago.
That long ago? It sounds like you're like, you know, pushing the edge of the 6-foot hole there.
Well, 1986 seems like a long time ago to me. Yeah. In 1986, I was 16. I just got my license. My dad was working for General Motors, and he had a bunch of company cars that we could just take out for fun as his children at that time. So we would drive up. Van Dyke, you know, all the way up into the thumb there and through Armada and all the way up through all that area there. And yeah, that was fun times.
I grew up in Mount Clemens at 60 degrees and I watched all that build up when it was Arnold's Drugs and Tropicana Restaurant. And I graduated in
87,
so we're the same age.
All right, yeah, I graduated in 88, so. Yeah, I remember going down Hall Road there before I can't remember these places anymore. Before Hall Road was the divided road that it is now. It was just a two-track, you know, a two-lane road. Distinct memories.
I ran the 7-Eleven from 89 to 91. That was on Hall Road, across from the Dunkin' Donuts Amoco Station and across from the Shell gas station. Right over there, just west of Van Dyke Freeway.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I graduated Troy High School, so my stomping grounds was Troy. But yeah, we always used to go out the Hall Road area for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah, I worked at Troy McDonald's for many years. Yeah, from like when I was 13 to 18 or so. Seems like forever, but it was only a couple years, I guess. But yeah. Distant memories.
I graduated from Clintondale. Actually, no. I went to Clintondale to 86, and then I went to LA Unified and graduated from Carson High School, and I came back here in 89? Yeah. Late 89, something like that. Been back ever since. Used to deliver the Detroit News when it was the Detroit News, and then Detroit News and Free Press. That was back when we were in high school. And I remember Hall Road being a two-lane with the Pontiac Silverdome and all the gas stations, and you can turn left at Hayes.
Oh, man, you mentioned Carson High School. There, for some reason, there's this girl that came with the volleyball team, and I was infatuated with her. She just gorgeous. Her name was Vicky, but I'm yeah, like I said, distant memories.
Yep, Carson Colts. I don't know if you listen to New Wave or not. Do you remember Tony Basil's Old Mickey?
I do remember that vaguely. It rings a bell.
Well, the cheerleaders that she portrayed, or the cheerleaders that were in the background when they did the music video, yeah, that was the Carson High School Colts. I think I was like 83 that video came out, maybe 82.
I got it now. I remember that. Yeah, we were the Troy High School Colts, if you will. But they never made any impression on anybody down in that area, so it was just the high school.
Yeah, I just kind of stayed in the shadows going through school. I wasn't very popular. I was a geeky, crazy kid. Played euchre during lunch. When I moved to California, I just kind of hid out in the shadows and just kept to myself that way, less problems, you know, being a new kid in a different school. KDT and KJO for identification.
Yeah, my dad was General Motors, and we got a transfer out to Europe in 1980. So from 1980 to 1982, I lived in Germany, West Germany at the time. There is no more West Germany anymore, but that was a great experience. But yeah, we came back, and then we lived in Troy there for a while. I graduated the Troy High School, and yeah, it's living in Michigan now, so I don't like the city down there, and I prefer rural areas with woods and. Yeah, we're trying to move to the UP now, so trying to get away from it further.
You're down there in Mason, aren't you?
No, I'm in Birch Run here right now. Birch Run, between Flint and Saginaw.
Oh, I know that area. Yeah, Tony's I-75. When you want Beacon, you get Beacon.
Yep, Tony's is right there, and you can get some bacon if you want some bacon. I used to do the bacon until I went to the doctor and got a 280 cholesterol, and they said, you can't have that anymore.
Yeah, I got my cholesterol down, found out today. He goes, you broken your fingers? I'm like, no, I haven't done that for a while. He goes, okay, he says, your A1C is down to 5.4. So I dropped it from 5.8 to 5.4 in 6 months, so I'm happy there. I do eat bacon, but not a lot. My cholesterol is like 220. He just wants me to monitor it. No meds. I stay on my metformin. I'm good. Sucks getting old.
Yeah, I hear that. My cholesterol ratio is actually awesome because I have the super high, you know, what do they call it, the good cholesterol. And years ago, they used to say that was fine. You're okay. But in the last 5 years, they said, oh, no, that's no good anymore. It's a total number that it matters. You're horrible. You need to do some changes. Like, well, wait a minute. Just a few years ago, my last visit, you said it was okay, and now because new data comes out, it says I'm no good anymore. In fact, I'm not no good. I'm horrible. I guess that's the way it goes. I've changed my diet. I've done cut out all that crap, but it goes down a little bit.
I'm not going to say how many times I've changed my diet, you know, but I had to survive, I guess you could say. After fighting diverticulosis for 7 or 8 years, it finally just got to the point that they took out part of my intestine and says, okay, well, you don't need that anymore. You know, so I'm good there. But like I said, I had a good doctor visit today. He says, since I drink coffee with no cream and sugar, I'm allowed to have one donut. I'm like, one? I mean, as in like one dozen? He goes, no, one.
Well, it sounds like you've had more trials and tribulations in me, my friend. So, cheers to you. You're still around. You sound like you're doing all right.
Yeah, I try to walk. You know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I do watch what I eat when I can, treat myself when I want. But I don't eat after 9 o'clock. I try to make that as a steadfast rule. And since I've been doing that, I've actually lost weight. So, plus being off of work for a month and having neck surgery. Couldn't eat much anyway, so I lost poundage there too.
Yeah, not eating before you go to bed. That's been a long-standing thing. People have said that for decades. My mom has told me that for years. She's 86 now. But, and she goes to bed at 6, so she's like, don't eat before 2! Like, Mom, you go to bed at 6, so I can eat at 6, but I go to bed at midnight. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I go to bed anywhere between 10 and 12. It all depends on my, you know, what I'm doing at work. But, yeah, I try to stick to don't eat after 9 o'clock. Now, if I get home from a run at like 9:30 and I haven't had anything to eat, then I'll eat like a bowl of sugar-free cereal, you know, Cheerios or, you know, wheat biscuits or something. I don't put sugar on my cereal. I've been so used to not putting sugar on there. I'll eat any cereal without sugar in it. Tastes fine to me. But I have arrived at my house and my dog is licking the window as usual. So I'll say 73 on your final. This is Casey, KGO, Cujo.
Hey Cujo, yeah, good chatting with you. Enjoy your the rest of your evening there. And this is KF8 AYL.
AD8OD, KF8CAR, copy. What's up, man?
Sounds good. You gotta go on. It's working right.
Thanks, man. I think it was a bind address issue. That's really the only thing I changed. So I had to do a little magic in there. Well, not really magic, but, yeah, I got to figure out how to get the radio going, though, for some reason it's not coming through there. But, anyway, thanks for the test, man. I'll be clear after your final, AD80DKF8CAR, 73s.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good night, AD80D.
KF8S.
how goes the cold weather out there?
Well, it's not bad now that I'm back in Michigan. I had to go to Toronto today for a meeting. And basically through London, Ontario, there's a pretty bad snowstorm. And, yeah, it was a mess driving home. But once we got out of it, like, no problem at all, clear skies. But it was snowing pretty good over there.
Yeah, they're on the other side of the lake. So that was today or yesterday?
No, it was today. Basically, like 5 o'clock to 7:30. I was in it looked like I was in hyperspeed mode, but we were doing like 10 miles an hour driving through snow.
I enjoy it when it's like that, but not the slipping and sliding, but just the way it looks. But yeah, it was windy here last night, and I had to go outside around midnight and put down the challenge antenna because I had the whip extended, remembering your experience, how it snapped.
Oh, yeah, you definitely needed the... Well, I mean, I didn't hear the wind last night, but when I got up this morning, the kids are all tired. They're like, oh, the wind kept me up. All my trash cans were moved. Yeah, you probably would have been buying replacement parts if you forgot it.
Yeah, I have one of my cameras looking at it, and I was like, that's not good. It's bending. I better go out there. It wasn't too bad, though, outside, but I saw this, like, wicked snow, like it looked like a dust devil thing with snow, though. But there wasn't really much snow out there, though. I mean, it was just, I think the wind was so strong that it blew it away. You know, it fell on the ground and it blew it away.
Yeah, that was definitely the good thing. I mean, that's at least what's nice with the long wire in the attic. I never have weather problems with the antenna, that's for sure. So...
Well, that's cool. You got to go to Toronto. Anything exciting other than the snow?
No. It took a while to get there because we didn't know that the 401 was shut down, so we had to, like, go a back way. It added about 40 minutes to the ride in. And, of course, way back, we had to take the same detour. So it was kind of a long day. Nothing interesting happened. I was kind of hoping I had to drive myself because I wanted to try and do some POTA. I had to ride with someone else, and so wasn't able to. That's usually what I do if I have to do a trip like that. I'll sneak into a POTA park somewhere. I could knock Canada off the list or something, but it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, I don't even know what parks would be over there, but you'd have to do CA-whatever instead of U.S.
Yeah, I didn't bother looking up what I had to do because I knew I wouldn't be able to take it. But, yeah, I don't even know. What is the procedure? We're allowed to use our license in Canada, right?
Yeah, you just have to say your call sign stroke VE3, if you're in the VE3 area. And that's pretty much Canada over there. But I don't know the park designation. Maybe it's the VE-dash something something something. So they were going country codes. I wonder if they go call sign, prefix, or country code. Maybe they probably do country code. I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, would have been nice to add another block to the activator. I think I'm at 5 U.S. states right now. Think about that. Let's see. Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Florida. So yeah, I got 5 states, so but no other countries. So yeah, one of these days I'll do it. Maybe I'll just take the boat over into Canada and activate.
Yeah, there's some countries where you gotta be extra.
Who cares?
And some countries are, like, general, like, reciprocal agreement.
I gave you.
Like, when I was over in England, I think you had to have the extra, and you'd say, like, M stroke
your call sign, right, or something like that. But, like, Canada, I know, I've heard people say that they were mobile VE3 and all that stuff. And back in the day, even when we crossed into a different district, like, you were in Florida, you would have to say KETFM Portable 4 or something like that. But you don't have to do that anymore.
KETFM. Who's that other station out there? Is that Eric?
Roger, the Dodger, how's it going? W-A-T-A-T.
Not bad. I'll see. We got to get a rotation here going, so I'll pass it to Dave, and then Dave can pass it to Eric.
I wonder if Greg is out here, because he was asking me a question over on the other side. I don't know if he's over here. If you're here, Greg, go ahead. If not, go ahead, Eric.
Roger. Why'd you go to Toronto today? I missed that part.
I had to go for a meeting for work. 2-hour meeting, but almost 8 hours of driving. But yeah, just a simple meeting. Had to do a quick introduction meeting to another customer's location, so wasn't bad. Pretty informal.
Bet you there was some important.
I'm surprised you couldn't do it remotely. But sometimes you just gotta be in person.
Yep, the in person is different than meeting over Zoom and phone. Definitely a different dynamic.
Yeah, I think in this case, me and the other guy just wanted to get out of our houses and go talk to actual people, so that's why we did it that way. No other reason. We could have done it over Teams, but we said, you know what, it's a quick enough drive. We're just going to go ahead and meet in person and get out of the house. It was mainly what it was. So. Man, FBI's got a bad splash when I unkey.
Are you on UMP by chance?
I'm on 2.6.
Okay, yeah, I've been hearing that on the UMP. I think it's the UMP. It's one of the repeaters is like it drops its carrier, or not dropping the carrier, it's still receiving even after the tone squelch has been dropped. On the receive end. So the receive has stopped, but it's like it's almost like listening to it for a few more seconds.
Yeah, and it doesn't do it all the time. I mean, it's sometimes it's worse than others. It's definitely intermittent, though.
Where did Eric go? Were you just testing out Gary's radio?
No, it's just doing something else, but yeah, well, I thought I fixed it, but I didn't. Once the radio hits room temperature, it goes out, but it's in the car, then the display comes back, so it's a temperature thing.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to duck out here and head inside the house. I'll probably be on the radio a little bit later when I get downstairs, but I'm going to go head in now and eat some dinner. So I'll talk to you guys later. KE8TFM, I'm clear.
All righty, welcome back. KF8S.
I have a display that way when I'm on the radio at work, my boss comes up to my bench or any of my coworkers, they can't see the frequency on my, this is a blank display, and I can say it's a feature. Yeah, I got the, it's in stealth mode, you know, no display. I'm going to go back to the other one. Catch you there.
KE8 VSI, nothing. I heard Dave come back, but it was really bad. I'm on an HD in my gray room, so that's probably the biggest issue, but normally it's a little better than that.
Yeah, I was just on Warren there. Now I'm on Mount Clemens, but yeah. We are not making it in. The cold weather is probably doing something.
Okay, well, at least I know it's working. I'm back to the hub.
Okay, beta.